Here they are in the desert, and you have this God giving the gift of life-giving water. And it happens again in Numbers chapter 20. And they're with, again without water, and God gives a little different instructions that time. He tells Moses on this occasion, he tells him to speak to the rock and the water, and God's going to send water. And Moses is mad. He's angry at the people. And I don't know, muscle memory from the other time, I don't know, but he disobeys God, and he strikes the rock again. And it's in a different place. It's not the same rock. They've traveled. It's in a different place. He strikes the rock, and he angers God because instead of speaking to the rock, he strikes the rock. But God still sends the living water. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about those two incidents. And it's kind of, it's a strange verse. It says the rock that traveled with them and provided the spiritual water is Christ. And what he does is, Paul's not saying that this rock was rolling around in the desert following the children of Israel. But he's saying that these two different times this happened, and he says Christ was traveling with them spiritually. And God was providing for them their physical needs, but was also providing spiritually through Christ. And so he uses that example of the God giving the water in the desert as a picture of Jesus as the rock that gives the living water. You keep going through the Old Testament and you get to the Psalms, and the Psalms have several references about thirsting for God. Psalm 42, the first two verses, maybe the best example or one of the better examples, says, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. And so the psalmist is this picture of us thirsting, and God is the one who meets that thirst, who fulfills that thirst, who comes to us in our thirst and takes that thirst away. And that theme, there's several passages in Psalms that kind of speak to that thirsting after God. You get to the prophets and you find Isaiah. He talks about water coming from a well of salvation in Isaiah chapter 12. And remember this verse and this passage, Isaiah 12. The third verse says, you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. You will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. And that just look at that picture and think of the traveler or the family that's living in a dry, arid land. And the water, the well, is so important. And the joy that comes in the fact that in the midst of that dryness, there's a well full of water they can joyfully draw from. And this is drawing from the well of the springs of salvation. And so this, the picture of the salvation of God being like a water well, drawing the water of life with great joy. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the first verse, there's an invitation. Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. God saying through his prophet Isaiah, I have what you need. And if you are thirsty, if you're seeking, if you know you're lacking, if you come to me, and there's water for everyone. Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. We have a similar thing in Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah speaks it as pointing to the fact that people have left God. And in Jeremiah 2, verse 13, Jeremiah says, for my people have committed a double evil. He's speaking for the Lord. They have abandoned me, God, the fountain of living water. And he uses that same terminology in Jeremiah 17:13. For they have abandoned the Lord, the fountain of living water. So God here is described by the prophet of Jeremiah. He is the fountain of living water. He's the source of life. And what an indictment. What an indictment on the people. When the people are told, God is here. He's the source of life. He is here to fulfill your thirst and satisfy you and give you life. And you've abandoned me. And it doesn't make sense. And the imagery in a very dry, arid land that you have a never-ending source of living water, and it's right here, and you wander off into the desert where there is no water, claiming to be better off. And so when Jeremiah speaks of the people of God leaving God, it says it's like leaving the well, leaving the fountain of living water. Ezekiel has a vision. In the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, he has a very detailed vision of the temple. And from the gates, he sees water flowing from the temple. And it starts out, it's just kind of a trickle. And as you read through the chapter, as it goes, it gets a little bit wider and a little bit deeper until it becomes a great river that you can't walk across, that you have to swim through. And so Ezekiel has this vision of this river, great river. And in that description of that river, as this water comes from the temple, it begins to be filled with life. And as it becomes a river, there are fish swimming in it. And he says it's bringing life to everything basically that it touches. Zechariah 14 talks about the day of the Lord, coming of God's judgment and the bringing of His judgment and the fulfillment of all His promises. And in that 14th chapter, while he's talking about the day of the Lord, he adds this in verse 8. On that day, the day of the Lord, living water will flow out from Jerusalem. The book of Revelation uses the imagery of living water also. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says, He will guide them, and it's talking about Christ the Lord. He will guide them to springs of living waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So Christ is, from the throne, is guiding us to the springs of living waters. And then in Revelation 21, in verse 1, John sees sees this and says, God showed this to me. The angel showed this to me. Then he showed me the river of living water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And so this living water, God providing life through the gift of living water, the wells of salvation, the water coming from the rocks in the desert, the joy that comes from the fountains of living water, the idea that we might somehow be better off leaving. You know, how ridiculous the idea that we would walk away from the fountain of living water right to these great rivers, this in the visions of Ezekiel and John. This is a theme all through Scripture. So with having looked at that real quickly, I want to go back to what Jesus said. And we're going to start in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I hope you know the story. I've preached from this passage and you've probably read it. The story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus, he sends the disciples away, and this woman comes in the middle of the day, which is the wrong time of day. You don't come in this at noon. You come early in the day. You come late in the evening when it's cool. And the women would come together, but this woman comes all alone in the heat of the day. Jesus is there waiting for her. He asks her for a drink. Would you, as you draw your water, can I have a drink? And he starts a conversation with her. She's very taken by this conversation. It's very unique. She finds it strange that a man would speak to her. She finds it strange that a Jew would speak to her, a Samaritan. And they have this conversation. And Jesus says to her, if you knew who it is that is speaking to you, you would ask him and he would give you living water. And she doesn't understand what he's talking about. And she's asking questions and saying things. And that gets us to verse 13. John chapter 4, verse 13. And Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. The water in that well that she was drawing from. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. I want us to just think just a moment about what Jesus says here. You know, everyone who drinks from this well is going to get thirsty again. We know that. I couldn't find a bottle of water this morning. I looked in the refrigerators in the kitchen. I didn't have anything in my office. There was probably a bottle of water in the youth house. If I had been thirsty enough, I guess I'd have walked across the street and got one. But I just made do with a little drink of water. And I'm making myself thirsty talking about it right now. You know how that kind of works. We get a drink, it satisfies us for a while, and then we're thirsty again. But Jesus says, I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about something different. And I'm talking about something that if you drink from the water, that I give, that person who drinks from this water will never get thirsty again. The living water that Jesus is talking about is something that satisfies us forever. It is something that when we receive it, when we drink of it, when we receive this gift from Christ, what he's talking about here is something that brings a fulfillment into our life, a satisfaction into our life. It takes a thirsting that is there away from our life and replaces it with a satisfaction that stays. It's not temporary. It's eternal. So that's the first thing we need to get and take from what Jesus said to that woman that day. That Jesus Christ has something to offer. That if we receive it from Him, He offers it, we take it. It is something that provides a satisfaction that never leaves. It's eternal. Also wants to see this. He says, in fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. So he says here that this living water that he is offering this woman on that day and that he's offering to those who are thirsty, those who will seek him out, those who will receive it, that drinking of what he has, receiving what he has, results in something, a well of water springing up within, creating eternal life. A well of living water comes from inside us that results in eternal life. That sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Now, when we've just opened our Bibles, we read that verse, we don't think twice about it. But if we really stop and think about it, water, living water, coming from within me? From within. Now, if he had said, there's living water that I will continue to give you over and over and over forever, You know, but he says that there is a living spring that comes from within us for eternal life. I think we better pay attention. I think we better listen to what he's saying here. We need to listen to Jesus. And he's telling this woman, he says, you need to ask me for eternal life. You need to ask me to give you the gift of eternal life. And I'm going to get, I can give you something that will change you from the inside out, from within you, from your heart, from your soul, from your mind. I will give you something that will change you from the inside out that will never end. It will just keep coming. It will just keep transforming. It will just keep giving life. Eternally. Wow. What a promise. That's good news, people. That is good news. That Jesus Christ will pour something into your life that will change you from within. And that what he puts there will continue to be a source of life, of joy, of faith, of hope, of strength, of power for eternity. Living water coming from within. The need in the human existence for water is tremendous. There are stories of people who survived for longer than this, but basically they tell us that if we go more than 3 days without water, we're going to die. We understand that. We know we have to have liquids in our body, or our body just starts shutting down. Our vital organs just quit working, and they start shutting down, and they start trying to make do with just the water that's already in our system. And if we don't replenish it and replace it, we die. And it can happen pretty quickly. I don't know if any of you read science fiction books or watch science fiction movies. When I was young, there was a book that was pretty popular. It was a book called Dune. And these people lived on a desert planet. And there was very little water. Cool thing was that there were these giant worms in the desert, and they would go out in the desert and beat them, and they would call them up, and then they would ride them, and that was kind of the cool thing. But they didn't have hardly any water, and they wore these things that mask, and they had other apparatuses on their body where they did not lose any of their moisture, because every cell of water was valuable to the point that they killed each other over it. And so from their breath and from everything that came from their body, they saved every bit of moisture that they could. Without water, there is not life. And without Jesus Christ and this well coming from within that provides a stream of living water for eternal life. Without Christ and this living water of Jesus Christ, there is no eternal life. It doesn't happen. But with the living water of Jesus Christ, we can live forever. So we get over here to John 7. And we've got Moses and God and the Israelites in the desert with the rock and the living water. And we've got the psalmist talking about thirsting for God. And we've got the prophets talking about God being the fountain of living water and talking and promising about a day when the water will flow from Jerusalem. Living water will come. And we've got the promises of the book of Revelation, of the future of this living water. And we have Jesus. He's already talked to the woman at the well and said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me, and I would give you to drink water that will become a river, a living well within you. John chapter 7, Jesus is in Jerusalem, and he is at the Feast of Tabernacles. He's at the Feast of Tabernacles. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a ceremony that they did every day. It went on for 7 days. And the priests, they would go down to the pool of Siloam with big jars, and they'd have this with these large water jugs, and they would fill the water jugs, and then they would walk from the pool of Siloam to the Temple Mount, and this procession or parade or ceremony commemorated that. This long anticipation for the children of Israel, the one of God, that God's promises being fulfilled. You know what promise it was? The promise of Isaiah chapter 12. We read one verse of that earlier, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, on that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger is turned away, and you have had compassion on me. Indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust Him and not be afraid, because Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He will become my salvation. In verse 3 that we read, you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation, and on that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim His name, celebrate His deeds among the peoples, declare that His name is exalted, and sing to the Lord, for He's done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. And it says, cry out and sing, citizens of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is among you in His greatness. Isaiah chapter 12. At the booth of tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, every day during that week of that festival, that feast, they would come down with their water jugs, they would take the water, and they would walk back to the temple, and in the Temple Mount, they would pour the water out on the steps, and in anticipation, looking ahead, acting out, this is what God's going to do. He is going to bring this water. He talks about it in Isaiah chapter 12. On the last day, the great day, the feast, verse 37. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out. Now, I want to tell you, the last day was the eighth day. The eighth day. For 7 days, they've been bringing jars of water and pouring it out. On the eighth day, they didn't do it. On the eighth day, they stopped. And the reason behind that was they had a ceremony. I don't know if that's the right word. We would call it, they had church. They had service. Saying, God has done this. God has brought His salvation. God has provided. And so for the first 7 days, they were looking back on their history. And on the eighth day, on the great day of the feast, they didn't pour out any more water. But they said, we're here, we're praising God, as Isaiah said we would, when God provides our salvation. So that's the day. And it is important because John points it out. On the last day and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and He cried out. Where was He at? He was in the temple. He was right where they had been pouring that water out every day for 7 days. He was right there where they were celebrating, saying, God has provided. God has fulfilled. God's salvation has come. We are praising God for salvation. And on that day, Jesus stands up and he cries out, "Is anybody thirsty? If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me." All of Jerusalem, everybody who's in the temple, they're thinking about God's salvation in terms of living water. They're thinking in terms of the water they've been carrying every day from the Pool of Siloam, that long journey up the Temple Mount to the temple, pouring out that water on the steps. And they've been focusing on that, thinking about that, and they're thinking about God has provided. God's salvation has come. And some of those people are looking around going, "Where is it?" Some of those people are standing around saying, "I don't know. Has it come? Where's the Messiah? Isn't his salvation going to come when the Messiah comes?" And they're standing around in the temple thinking that, talking about that. And Jesus stands up and says, "Are you thirsty? Come to me and drink." Now, he didn't have a water jug there with him. He didn't have his cooler. It's just him. "Come to me and drink." And then he says, "The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." Now, they've been commemorating the day, pointing to the day when the living water is going to flow from Jerusalem, from the temple. Jesus says, "You come to me and drink the water I have. You drink me. You take me. You believe in me. You receive me. And the streams of living water are going to flow from you, from deep within you." Very similar to what he said to the woman at the well. "The living water will come from you." And John doesn't leave us there. Jesus didn't leave it there. John doesn't leave it there. He goes on and he says, John says, after Jesus says, "We'll have streams of living water flowing deep within him." That kind of, how does that happen? What are we talking about? Thing. Verse 39. John says, he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were going to receive. But the Spirit had not yet been received because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But he tells us this living water that comes from within is the Holy Spirit. And that when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the new birth happens. And the regeneration happens. And God cleanses us, and God empowers us, and he fills us with joy and hope and faith and power and strength. He puts himself inside us. Streams of living water from within that we will never want again. I've told this story before, and many of you have heard me tell it. I've told it many times. So if it sounds familiar, that's why. When I was a kid, you know, we didn't have McDonald's and Huck's and places like that to get part-time jobs at. I mean, McDonald's existed, but, you know, they weren't. We were in a small town. There wasn't a McDonald's in my town. So how did we make our spending money? We worked for farmers. And we put up hay. And I used to help Laverne Hicks. Laverne was a Baptist preacher. His son Paul was a Baptist preacher. Paul's still a Baptist preacher. He's been a preacher almost my whole life at Myrdale Baptist Church. He was, when I was in junior high, Paul Hicks was the pastor at Myrdale Baptist Church, and he still is. He must be old, I just tell you. They had a farm between DeSoto and Hearst. And we used to put up hay for them. And A lot of you have done that, and some of you have been there and helped them do that. Vern's wife, she took care of us. This was an old-fashioned farm. You know, if we worked all day, we ate a huge meal at lunchtime. She cooked all morning to feed us. It was wonderful. They were good to us. I remember one time there was a storm coming, and Laverne really, he was in a big hurry, and he asked us, boys, I want you to work really hard and get this, we want to get all this hay in the barn before the storm gets in. And we worked hard, and he paid us $3 an hour, and I thought I was rich. We had never made any money like that before. But in Laverne's barn lot was a well. Had a pump on it. I had an electric motor on it. I'm not that old, okay? But there was a well. And probably most of us here, if that was the drinking water we had to use all the time, we wouldn't have cared for it. Because it was hard water. Had a lot of minerals in it. But when I was 16 years old, I thought it came out of the ground cold. And I thought it was the best tasting water in the world. And every time we came in with a load of hay to put in the barn, before we got in the barn, we went to that well and we drank from that well. And when we got out of that barn, we drank from that well. We'd hold the hose for each other. We'd get a good drink. Now, I used to be a little guy, if you can imagine that. I've always been short, but I weighed about 130 pounds when I was in high school. So the bales of hay were bigger than I was. And so to get a bale of hay up on the wagon, I didn't just pick it up and go, whoop, like some of the big guys did. I had to get it up, get my knee under it, probably rest it on my arms, and then put it up. Which meant every single bale of hay I put on that wagon, I got a shower of grit and dirt and straw and just crud. Just fun. I think probably some days when I got done putting up hay, I looked like a coal miner. I mean, I was filthy, dirty. And we would gather around that well, at the end of the day, and we'd get a drink, but we would take a shower with our clothes on. But I would get all that stuff off of my arms and off my neck and off my face. I'd get as cleaned up as I could before I got back in my car and went to town. But I can remember one guy that we worked with. I honestly do not remember his name, but I remember him working with us a couple times. That was the only place I ever saw him, was out there at Laverne's farm. And at the end of the day, and he was older than we were. He was real old. He was probably like 19. And I remember we're all getting a drink, and we're all rinsing down, and we're helping each other with the hose and getting that done. And we said, hey, here, you want some of this water. You want to rinse off. Here, I'll hold it for you. Now, he wasn't as dirty as I was, but he'd been hot and sweaty, and he was dirty. But he says, no, no, no. And he gets in his car, and he drives off. And that left an impression on me. Now, you want to go home sweaty and dirty, when you don't have to, after you put up hay, that's fine, okay? But when the Savior of the world comes to you and offers you the drink of living water, and He offers you a drink that will become a river of living water flowing from within you, His presence, His Holy Spirit living in you, that will result in you living forever. And you say, no thanks. No. I don't need it. You're abandoning the God who is the fountain of living water. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Look around you this morning. Probably most of everybody who's here today has drunk from that well of living water. Most of the people who are here today know what Jesus is talking about. They know about the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, and they know about the joy and the satisfaction that while we mess it up sometimes, it's always there for us to rediscover and to have in our life. And we know the day is coming when we are going to enter into His glory. And we know it because His presence is in us. But as you look around at each other this morning, and you do not know the joy of Christ, you do not have the forgiveness of Jesus, Jesus has offered you the living water, and you have not drank of it. You have not put your faith, your trust in Him. Why would you not do that? Why would you not receive the Jesus who died for you on the cross to take away your sins and to give you the gift of eternal life forever? Don't walk away today. Don't go back out and get in your car today saying no thanks to Jesus. Don't walk away from the gift of living water today. Trust Him today. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for the rock. From forth comes the living water, for the well, the fountain, Lord, whatever picture or analogy, Lord, You've used in Scripture that we want to see today. But thank You for the streams of living water coming forth from Your presence. That You then put Your Spirit in us. And that living water is reproduced by Your Spirit in our lives for us and even to share with others. Lord, we thank You for the gift of eternal life. Lord, I want to pray for that person who's sitting here this morning, that person who is in this service, but Lord, they have never come to You. They've never received You. They've heard about You. They know of You, but Father, for whatever reason, they've just never surrendered and repented and trusted Jesus as their Savior. Lord, that the day would be the day that they do. And I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would show them the futility of turning away and walking away from the gift of living water that only Christ can give and that He is offering today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. And as we sing, the Holy Spirit speaking to you.